Dear Heavenly Father, we ask you to speak to our hearts, teach us, lead us, encourage us, exhort us, rebuke, reproof, instruct in righteousness, all the things that you tell us that your word is profitable for. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as I said this morning, every year when I read through Ezekiel, well, I'll put it this way. I've gone through a transformation, because you can think Ezekiel and you can think this is one of those you get through, and it's just part of the discipline of reading through the Bible in a year. But every year, it just kind of captures me more and more. Very honestly, I'm not sure we're going to look at different lessons. Obviously, we're not going to try to verse by verse and get everything out of it in that way. But what I want to do is just like I started Ezekiel, it's been a few days ago now, I can't remember how long, but sometime last week. And I want to capture some of that glimpse of God's glory and what that means to us here on this earth, where we're likely not going to see the vision of God that Ezekiel did. But this does mean something to us. Soul-stirring, that's what I'm trying to say. It is soul-stirring. And so I'm going to try to communicate that, and it's going to be a challenge. So you can pray for me concerning that. There's a few things that come to mind. Let me just give you a little background on Ezekiel. This is from ESV Study Bible Notes. By the way, I have a lot of different tools. I have some very powerful software. I have excellent commentaries. But sometimes your study Bible gives it to you in a nutshell, and it's extremely helpful. It's just like different kinds of commentaries, because you can go to an Ezekiel commentary, and you got all this as background and authorship and date and all the different theories. And it can just, you can just get overwhelmed. Study Bible, you get something that's conservative based, and it'll give that to you. And yes, they don't always agree exactly, but they agree very close as far as time wise. So anyway, the ESV, the Study Bible Notes, tell us that Ezekiel is both the name of the 6th century BC prophet and the title of the book that records his preaching. Now here's something that I had to kind of smile at this next one I read, because I did not know what Ezekiel's name meant. But I'll tell you what happened as I was reading through this, and I'm trying to communicate my experience. Ezekiel, even though it's during a time of exile, it's a downtime. They've been decimated with being conquered and hauled off to other nations. And there's the task that Ezekiel is given is God tells him he's going to send them out. They may or they may not listen. But this message and seeing that what God has shared, it was very strengthening and encouraging to me. The reason I say that is because then I discover what the name Ezekiel means. And so I'll continue with those notes. Ezekiel's name means God strengthens, or may God strengthen. Now see, there's a lesson right in the beginning when we understand when Ezekiel was written. It was probably, what I read, 150 years after Isaiah. He may have been a little bit crossed over with Jeremiah. But this wasn't the pinnacle of the time for God's people. This wasn't the time of David, and this wasn't the time of Solomon. This is all they had just gone far from God, and God was judging them. You see, it doesn't, we have this expression, you've heard, let the good times roll, and sometimes it's like, boy, everything looks good, and all these things are looking good, and we can really be encouraged in God. Well, you can be, and we can thank God for all of those things, but the fact is God is God. And it doesn't matter if the outlook bright or gloomy or doom or whatever, God is our source of strength. And he will transcend all those circumstances. And we do need to remind ourselves of that, because things hit us. Difficult, very hard things hit us. And we have to remember what we have. We don't want to look at God as like a possession or just a resource, because God is a person, but this relationship we have. And then, just it should be astonishing to us that what does God desire first and foremost from us? To love Him. And He tells us, above everything else, love God first. He explains some of that. He says we show our love to Him when we obey His commandment, when we obey Him. Not obey Him out of fear, but obey Him because we want to please Him. So anyway, Ezekiel's name means God strengthens, or may God strengthen, appropriate for a prophet called to proclaim a message of uncompromising judgment, and later a message of a restoration for God's sake, not Israel's. Ezekiel lived out his prophetic career among the community of exiled Judeans in Babylon. He belonged to the priestly class and was married, but it is doubtful that he had any children. Writing then, if you've heard of Martin Lloyd-Jones, a famous old, way long gone now to be with the Lord, but Martin Lloyd-Jones wrote, writing of events in 1939 at the outset of the Second World War, Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones remarked, "I feel that there is a tremendous opportunity for preaching. At the moment, what is wanted is the comforting note to help people over the shock. But following that, the need will be for the prophetic note to awaken the people." And I think we always want to be aware we're never going to be prophets like Ezekiel, but we have a place to sound God's prophetic note, don't we? If nothing else, Jesus is coming. When we take communion, we'll take communion next week. What does that say? "And as often as you do this, we proclaim the Lord's death until He comes." That's a prophetic note. That's meaningful. Yes, people can do that just out of tradition and just out of habit. But if we're thinking about it, it's a prophetic note. We're proclaiming Jesus died. He's coming again. So what I would like to do, and this is extended, I know, like I say, I'm kind of learning on the go here how to handle this, but I want you to capture this vision and the living creatures and all of this that's going on, because basically, what it is Ezekiel gets a picture of God's glory, but it's like a glimpse of heaven coming to earth. And it's not like the concepts that we have, you know, where somebody says they die and they go to heaven and they come back, and actually really one of them, it's like it was a rainbow-colored unicorn, you know, and this, you know, these, nothing like that here. Because why is that? Well, because heaven isn't our imagination. Heaven is where God is. And so, no, we won't know, and we won't understand. This is one of the things that, in reading through Ezekiel, and one of the things that we go through, don't try to understand all these things. I'm not saying try to not understand, but I'm saying we just won't get it all. But just let that the power of this picture capture us. This is, I mean, it's amazing to see what's going on and how God gets Ezekiel's attention. So I'm going to read from chapter 1, verse 1, all the way through chapter 2, verse 2. I'll read out the ESV. "In the 13th year, in the fourth month, on the fifth day of the month, as I was among the exiles by the Chebar canal, the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. On the fifth day of the month, it was the fifth year of the exile of King Jehoiachin, the word of the Lord came to Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans by the Chebar canal, and the hand of the Lord was upon him there. As I looked, behold, a stormy wind came out of the north, and a great cloud with brightness around it and fire flashing forth continually, and in the midst of the fire, as it were, gleaming metal. And from the midst of it came the likeness of four living creatures, and this was their appearance. They had They had a human likeness, but each had four faces, and each of them had four wings. Their legs were straight, and the soles of their feet were like the sole of a calf's foot, and they sparkled like burnished bronze. Under their wings, on their four sides, they had human hands, and the four had faces, had their faces and their wings thus. Their wings touched one another. Each of them went straight forward without turning as they went. As for the likeness of their faces, each had a human face. The four had the face of a lion on the right side, and the four had the face of an ox on the left side, and the four had the face of an eagle. Such were the faces, and their wings were spread out above. Each creature had two wings, each of which touched the wing of another, while two covered their bodies. And each went straight forward. Wherever the Spirit would go, they went, without turning as they went. And as for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance, maybe a couple of years ago, we had a couple of messages or so out of Ezekiel, and I mentioned then, these verses are just picture what, Ezekiel is seeing, and he's, to the best of his ability, through the Holy Spirit, he's capturing that and communicating that to us. Now, also, I typically do my reading like this early in the morning. And you know what that is like. It's almost like a different world, isn't it? The day hasn't rushed on you yet. And if you don't read early in the morning, unless you're just totally not a morning person, I would encourage it. But it's just, God can just, you just open his words and he just takes you away. And this is what Ezekiel does to me. But these verses here, I mean, the whole thing with these verses, just this picture. And as for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire, like the appearance of torches moving to and fro among the living creatures. And the fire was bright, and out of the fire went forth lightning. And the living creatures darted to and fro like the appearance of a flash of lightning. See, you know what's the expression? You can't make this stuff up. This, we're getting a glimpse of what glory is like. You know, our inheritance is the glory of God. It's like we've been learning that heaven isn't just a place to go. We're going to be with God, God dwelling in us, and us being with God forever. These bodies that were made for this earth will fall by the side. We'll be given bodies after the man of heaven, not the man of earth. And these bodies then that will be given then will be, they'll be fashioned and formed for heaven, for God's glory. And this is part of it. This is just a glimpse. We have, I don't know where they got the thoughts. I haven't done all the background, but you know that you've heard somebody say, well, go to heaven and boring and just on the clouds playing the violin. Now, personally, I kind of like that idea of being on the clouds playing the violin. I've always wanted to play the violin, but there's so much more than that. We're just getting a picture. Do we understand all of this or understand even why? No, we don't. But it's just this glimpse of God's glory. This is our inheritance that he's bringing us to because of what Christ has accomplished and our believing God and trusting him for that. The living creatures darted to and fro like the appearance of a flash of lightning. Now as I looked at the living creatures, I saw a wheel on the earth beside the living creatures, one for each of the four of them. As for the appearance of the wheels and their construction, their appearance was like the gleaming of beryl. And the four had the same likeness, their appearance and construction, being as it were a wheel within a wheel. When they went in any of their four directions without turning as they went, and their rims were tall and awesome. And the rims of all four were full of eyes around. And when the living creatures went, the wheels went beside them, and when the living creatures rose from the earth, the wheels rose. Wherever the Spirit wanted to go, they went, and the wheels rose along with them, for the Spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. When those went, these went, and when those stood, these stood, and when those rose from the earth, the wheels rose along with them, for the Spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. Over the heads of the living creatures There was the likeness of an expanse shining like awe-inspiring crystal spread out above their heads. And under the expanse, their wings were stretched out straight, one toward another, and each creature had two wings covering its body. And when they went, I heard the sound of their wings like the sound of many waters, like the sound of the Almighty. Wouldn't you like to hear that, the sound of the Almighty? A sound of tumult like the sound of an army. When they stood still, they let down their wings, and there came a voice from above the expanse over their heads. When they stood still, they let down their wings, and above the expanse over their heads was the likeness of a throne, in appearance like sapphire. And seated above the likeness of a throne was the likeness with a human appearance. And apart from what the had the appearance of his way, and what, yeah, and upward from what had the appearance of his waist, I saw, as it were, gleaming metal. Now, again, when we're reading through this, and he says, and it had the likeness of this, and it had the appearance of that. Well, why do we hear that so much? Well, this is an earthling trying to describe the glory of God, and he's communicating it in the terms, the best that he can. He's saying, okay. He didn't say that looked like a human. It had the likeness of a human, but it's God's glory. Okay. I'm going to start back on beginning of verse 26 because I lost my place. And above the expanse over their heads, there was the likeness of a throne in appearance like sapphire, and seated above the likeness of a throne was a likeness with a human appearance. And above from what had the appearance of his waist, I saw, as it were, gleaming metal like the appearance of fire enclosed all around. And downward from what had the appearance of his waist, I saw, as it were, the appearance of fire, and there was brightness around him, like the appearance of the bow, the rainbow that is in the cloud on the day of rain. So was the appearance of the brightness all around. Such was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell on my face, and I heard the voice of one speaking. And he said to me, Son of man, stand on your feet, and I will speak to you. And as he spoke to me, the Spirit entered into me and set me on my feet, and I heard him speaking to me. Now, just this, one of the things that I stood out, and I said the first steps here is as we look living in a way that pleases God, it's preparing to stand in the name of the Lord. And the things, and this is things that we'll try to pick up as we go right now and then as we go through Ezekiel, but how do we truly stand? Because we don't stand for the Lord like mere humans. Would you agree with that? Because we're instructed that way, aren't we? In fact, when Paul has to speak to them in writing to the Corinthians, that when he called them mere humans, that was a rebuke. Because, see, that's not who we are now. Now, let me expound on that a little bit. Expand on that a little bit. If you turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. See, we have the opportunity to... Well, you know, what these things that we... Well, hang on if you already got to 1 Peter 4, and then turn on over to 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. So we're going to go to 1 John 3, 1, and then we're going to go to 1 Peter 4, 10. 1 John 3, 1. See what kind of love the Father has given to us that we should be called children of God, and so we are. See, that's who we are. If you've trusted in Christ and received his gift of eternal life, that's who we are. And we have to allow God then to fill in the blanks, to give us detail, what that means. But then it's got to be more than that. There's got to be this vision of service. We've got to have a sense of mission. We've got to have a sense of calling. Pat, that's why your song fits so well, Jesus Calls Us. Because that's so important. We're not just out here doing church. Jesus calls us. That is one thing that helps shape and form our attitude, our direction, our receptiveness to the Word of God, Jesus calls us. It says here, what the great love that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Beloved, we are God's children now. We are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him as He is. So how do we do that? Not something that we, to me, it's something, and we're going to go back to Ezekiel in a minute, but how did God create this vision of service? How did God create spiritual insight and courage in the life of Ezekiel that will help him as God sends him to what He calls a rebellious people? Well, he had to have a sense of God's glory, didn't he? Now, we look at what we can take away from that, is that we're not a prophet like Ezekiel was. We'll probably not see the heavens open, but we might if we're raptured at the coming of Christ. And we'll probably not see the living creatures that dominate the discussion in verses 4 to 22. We're likely not to hear the sound of their wings, which is like the sound of many waters and the sound of the Almighty. But we do need to hear the voice of God. And that's different than just picking the Bible up. See, there's something happening. When we read, and the moments I'm speaking of, like early in the morning, that's not just reading. When I'm in that right place before God, see, God does speak through His Word. You know what I mean? We say, well, of course, Dave, we all know that. Well, we do. But it's different than just picking it up and reading and understanding these words. Are we hearing the voice of God? Our God's Word study, that's one of the things I emphasized. We can know how to study the Bible, but are we approaching God through those methods and that discipline? Are we hearing the voice of God? And it means so much. It shapes and forms and transforms. It inspires us. So let's look at that. Now we'll get to the 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Now, that's a treasure right there, the stewardship that we have. God has said, you know, He'll pour His undeserved favor on us. In Ephesians, it talks about, and years ago, John MacArthur brought my attention to this. Writing to the Ephesians, it was something, and he didn't say, I'll do this according to my grace, but he said, I'll do this according to the riches. God would do this according to the riches of His grace, because His grace is overabundant. And although Paul was contending with someone's question in Romans, when sin abounds, yes, grace will abound. And they said, oh, well, then we should sin so grace will abound. And he said, may it never be. But it doesn't take away from the fact that sin, that in the life of the believer, that God, His grace is overabundant. So if we do sin, His grace does abound. And we do have a stewardship to live that out. And people say, well, you know, just people will use that for an excuse to live their life the way they want to live their life, or to take advantage of it or whatever. But do you see how nonsensical that is? That's not someone who has a vision of service, a vision of loving God first. Will we sin? Yes, we will. But I had given the story that a fellow Moody student, when graduating from Moody for the first time, and you know, I'd say Gary was younger. I was really young then too. I thought I was older, but I was older than Gary. And Gary said, you know, Christian liberty. He said, I graduate. He said, if I want to go have a beer with the guys, I'll go and have a beer with the guys. And I'm like, Gary, if that's all you understand Christian liberty for, you just don't get it. And could he go out and do that? But what's the direction of our heart? So we have this stewardship of grace. But verse 11 is really what I'm trying to get to. Whoever speaks, as one who speaks oracles of God. The NIV has, as one who speaks, speak as the very words of God. So when we're sharing Christ with someone, were to share that as God is speaking to them. Now, that's a tremendous opportunity, isn't it? It's nothing for us to get all puffed about up about in our pride. What it is, if anything, it should humble us before God, that His Holy Spirit should be able. But this is how He speaks to God using us. This is God's direction for our lives, to understand we're children of God now. So children of God, we should be speaking like God would speak to people. We'll do that imperfectly, but whoever speaks is one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves is one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To Him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And there's the glory of God in the context of service. See, that's how we keep going. We're going to get later in the Galatians study, you know, do not be weary in well-doing. What's our tendency? It's to be weary in well-doing, isn't it? Man, what am I doing this for? Is it worth it? Well, again, we got to let God set the context. We have to let God show us what this is all about, that it just, we keep going forward because we're pressing toward the high calling. One day, the reward is going to be God's generosity and abundance over the top. But we have opportunity to now serve in the darkness. Back to Ezekiel then, the last verse of chapter 1. Such was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of God, and when I saw it, I fell on my face, and I heard the voice of one speaking. See, that's really, as I said, we're not going to have a vision likely like Ezekiel had, or see these living creatures, as cool as that would be, to see them going back and forth like lightning flashes. But we need to allow God somehow to show us His glory in the working of our lives, because that's when we shut up and listen. That's when we realize we don't really have anything to say, but we have a lot to say if God is going to speak through us. You see how different that is? How different that is than we just can't. You know, it says the fool, he's just, the only thing a fool's interested in is just sharing his opinion. You see, the opposite of that, though, when we're knocked down by the glory of God and just we're awestruck. Okay, now you're getting close to the place where God can speak through you, and it's like the oracles of God or the very words of God. Isn't that powerful? Isn't that? I mean, it's exciting. Not that we're out for a thrill ride, but living our faith is thrilling. It should be exhilarating. Yes, it's the slogging along too. What Warren Wiersbe said years ago. He said that God's looking for plotters with a D, not plotters with a T, because we got enough who plot with a T in the church. But those who plod, that's what we do sometimes. You guys know that. We plod. But it's not all plodding. We discipline ourselves. And there's these moments of just this thrill and joy of serving God Most High. Not just going to church, not just doing this and not just doing that, but we're serving God Most High. So then in chapter 2, verse 1, after Ezekiel's flattened before the glory of God, he said to me, Son of man, stand on your feet, and I will speak with you. And I know personally, I keep learning. It's I can't do anything, and I don't even know where I get the strength to do. And God says, now you're catching on. And it's like, how do we continue this? God's saying, now you're catching on, because you're not. And the more we understand that, the more that it is God and we trust Him. And I'm not just giving you this as like some theoretical example. I learn this every week. I can't do it. God says, oh, yep, now I got you right where I want you, Dave. And so, Son of man, stand on your feet. I will speak with you. He had Ezekiel right where he wanted him. And as he spoke to me, the Spirit entered into me and set me on my feet. and the significance to, and I heard him speaking to me. And I heard him speaking to me. Again, there's something different from just hearing someone preach a message or a radio, or you're reading it for yourself. There's something different when it's actually these words are the living words that they actually are, and we hear God speaking to us. And he said to me, Son of man, I send you to the people of Israel, to nations of rebels. And some of you have a nation of rebels. It's different things. It really doesn't... That's not something we're going to try to figure out here, but the main part is, Son of man, I send you to people who have rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed me to this day. And we can say, well, our message, have you ever felt, oh, they don't want to hear this. Have you ever felt, of course we've felt like that, haven't we? Or have you tried to witness to someone? And you might even go out of your way, right, Donna, and go down and travel extra miles and share the gospel with them and have them upset with you. It's like they don't want to. But there is a place where we share God's message. Jesus calls us. We keep doing this. He said, these people who have rebelled, they and their fathers have transgressed against me to this very day. The descendants are also impudent and stubborn. I send you to them, and you shall say to them, thus says the Lord. Again, as we speak, if we're going to say we're speaking the name of God, and God said, then do it like the oracles of God. Do it like it's the very words of God, because that had better be what's coming out of our mouths. Not our thoughts and not our religious traditions, but we keep allowing God to refine and to temper and to purify my expression. If God doesn't say it, we can't say he did. And why would we? So we keep, thus says the Lord. We don't let this restrict us. We don't, fearful of that. Again, it's heart direction. Do I, when I'm sharing with people, do I want to share? When I preach every Sunday morning, I'll tell Carrie sometimes, I said, this is really a good message. If I can get out what God's saying here. Because it's God's word. That's why it's good. And he humbles me before that. But that is my joy then. When it's like, I did it. I communicated God's message. Now it's all out of my hands. Well, it was already all out of my hands, wasn't it? Because again, we were faithful to the task, but if anything happens, it's God doing it. Thus says the Lord, this is what you shall say to them. And whether they hear or refuse to hear, for they are a rebellious house, they will know that a prophet has been among them. Now here's something important too, and we need this vision of the glory of God. Because we can think we're really courageous and brave and we're impervious to the pressure of society, but we're not. There's something that'll get to us. We need a greater vision. We need to be able to see as we're anything we face, and as Ezekiel was facing these people, to not fear them, what did he have to see? He had to see God in the background and God above and the Spirit of God in him. That's how we continue faithfully. Otherwise, we will compromise the Word of God for the sake of our social relationships, for the sake of not losing a friend, for the sake of not losing standing in the church, for the sake, whatever it is, that we will compromise. And you, son of man, be not afraid of them. It gets really interesting because God knows what he's talking about. He says, nor be afraid of their words, though briars and thorns are with you and you sit on scorpions. Be not afraid of their words. And what else? Nor be dismayed at their looks. People can really give a look, can't they? I mean, just think about how can we communicate so much in a look, good and bad. This isn't talking about good here. This is not the good stuff here. This is not that smile of warmth or acceptance or joy or I'm happy to see you. this is, we hate what you're saying to us. We hate you. Who do you think you are? I mean, they even told, the children of Israel even told, quit telling us what God says. We don't want to hear it. So can you imagine the looks that these prophets would get? Well, don't think that you won't get those looks too. People don't have to open their mouth to talk, do they, to communicate? It can give you. And what does it say here? So how do we get past the look? Well, God's got to be in the picture, the glory of God, the bigger purpose, our calling. Jesus calls us. So, nor be dismayed by their looks, for they are a rebellious house, and you shall speak my words to them. Again, whose words do we communicate to the world? It's God's words. It's God's words. Again, a continual refining and purifying process that what we're communicating is the very words of God. Feeble as we are, sinful as we sometimes are, we confess our sin, but we, God's words, whether they hear or refuse to hear, for they are a rebellious house. But you, again, the wisdom of God, Ezekiel, but you, son of man, hear what I say to you. See, that's what we can get so involved in. Lord, what do you want me to tell these people? Or you've got that person in your life that just how you would love to see them come to Christ. Lord, what can I say to them? Or you're dealing with a situation at work, or you're dealing with a situation in church, or your neighbor. And what do I need to say to them? But we don't want to forget. We'll make sure we're hearing what God says to us. But you, son of man, hear what I say to you. Be not rebellious. Rebellion rubs off. Rebellion gets accepted as okay. Rebellion in the professing church in our country, it's pretty much, it's okay. See, we've got a lot of Americanism. We've got a lot of the Western world that we say, even the way we talk. And an older man told me one time, well, I'm older now, he said, I just say whatever I want to say. And then I think of the scriptures that talks about the person whose religion is worthless if they don't control their tongue, or the fool who doesn't control. Where do we get those things? Well, because we're church people, right? And we measure ourselves by ourselves, don't we? I mean, we all do that to some degree. Hopefully not to the degree but we do that to some degree. And we end up with these, whether they're spoken or this, they're the silent rules, but this is okay to talk like this. That person insulted for me. See, God deals with these very specifically. They insulted me, I'll insult you. Touche. Except, God says, don't ever do that. In fact, he calls it evil. You hear what I say, be not rebellious like that rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I give you. God sounds like your mom now, doesn't he? Yeah. And when I looked, behold, a hand was stretched out to me, and behold, a scroll of a book was in it, and he spread it before me, and it had writing on the front and on the back, and there were written on it words of lamentation and mourning and woe. And to me, that's reminiscent of Isaiah 6, where God said, who will go? And Isaiah said, here am I, here I am, send me. And we use that missionary call, and I'm not saying that that's wrong to use it as a missionary call, but if you read the verses after that, basically Isaiah, God was just, his message, it wasn't going to be, oh, this is interesting. I've hit my phone, and Siri's picking up bits and fragments of, anyway, sorry about that. That just stuff tickles me. Do you remember the day that I hit it and Siri talked, and everybody heard Siri talk? Yeah. Where was I? Does anybody know? Yes, Isaiah and what was given to him. And the thing is we faithful to God, speak God's word. To do that, We have to have a vision of God. Again, we won't see the living creatures. I sure wish we would, but we won't see that. And heaven's open and things like that. But God will impress his glory on our lives if we live his words, if we walk the path of Jesus, Son of God. That's our vision for service. And then we say those words of God. Sometimes those words, what they will be, is like you said, they'll listen or they'll refuse to listen. Then those words will come back, and sometimes they'll just be judgment to that person. But sometimes those words, they'll be transforming in the life of a fellow believer, a brother or a sister in Christ. Or those words, they'll be the word, you were just the one at the right time for that person, and they'll come to Christ. But as we're going around, we can't flippantly, no thought, this superficial, just on the surface. It's like, no, we have a tremendous task, a wonderful, wonderful opportunity and stewardship. And it doesn't matter that the climate of our world. And I think this is such the encouraging thing in Ezekiel. It was, may God strengthen. That was his name, or God strengthens. And we can be that strengthening voice of God if we can learn some of these lessons. In the New Testament, it says, stand in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord, rather, and in the strength of his might. That's what this is about, really. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Let's pray. Thank you, Father. Again, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, even for sometimes the struggle in understanding and communicating it, as that's humbling and speaks to us also. Direct us through this week to realize every day is an opportunity to love you, to serve you, to be faithful, to hold the testimony of Jesus Christ firmly, to treasure the value of your word in our lives. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.